You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, so I feel like Michael Corleone in The Godfather 3. Remember the famous line, The Godfather 3? It really jumped the shark. The first two were great, all-time great movies. The third one was not very good. But maybe the most famous line of all of The Godfather movies, outside of "We'll make him an offer he can't refuse,"
right,
was just when I think I'm out, they drag me back in. Mitch Marner and his contract negotiation. Just when we thought
we haven't talked about it,
we haven't been talking about it
pretty good
at all. We have been avoiding it at all cost, and then we finally get some news. So we made this promise.
Right.
Until something happens, we're not going to get involved in this conversation.
But now we can talk about it.
Now there are details, reputable details, that Mitch Marner was offered upwards of $11 million per year for 7 or 8 years back in June.
You know how much money that is Canadian? $116 million Canadian.
If you do an eight-year deal, that's $88 million, right, U.S.? Because the deal's
$116 Canadian.
A lot of money. A lot of money.
I just told Jamie outside. I said, there's two things I would have on a desk. One of those offers, and the other would be a plane ticket to Switzerland. And go to Switzerland, and I don't know what the hell you're going to do there or why you want to train there, but go there. I've had it. That's it. I've had it.
I think the fans.
A 3-year deal at $8.5 or $9 million, don't like that either. What the hell are you looking for?
Well, clearly.
$116 million.
The obsession with Austin Matthews has been there
then
since
you
day
and your dad
one.
And your agent can all go to Switzerland. All of you. That's enough.
But
I've had it.
Here's
that's
where
enough.
I'm going to try to rein you in a little bit, and I'm going to try to rein in.
That's garbage advice from the agent. I don't know who the hell says no to that, but that is just
ridiculous.
I'll
tell you who doesn't. Any agent on earth.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
A negotiation 101 is, you're going to offer me that in June?
Yeah.
What are you going to offer me on October 1st?
Agreed. That is my point, though.
Pressure
if
point.
I'm the team, make a stand and say, that's it.
But
that's
why would you believe
offering.
Them after they buckled for William Nylander?
Well, change your stance then.
Well, they're not. I don't think they're going to. I have no problem.
I told you when we first started, it's 2 weeks. There's three different offers at three different lengths in different dollar terms. And if you don't want one of them, we're actually going to trade you.
I said that, and I said the exact same thing. We all agreed. I agree with that practice.
Why are you letting this kid and his dad run the show here? Enough is enough. Take one of the deals. If not, go play somewhere else.
But
go be Mitch Marner in Carolina and see how you like it.
Until he
or
misses,
Winnipeg.
Until
or the
he
Islanders.
Misses a game, it doesn't matter, is the point. Like, I'm
sick of it. It's garbage.
It doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter if he signed on July 1st or October 1st. If he's playing October 2nd,
it's all water under the
bridge. Doesn't matter.
This is negotiation.
So you want more, Brian? You want more than 160?
Of course, I don't want more. Ideally, he signs for $700,000 a year and they could spend that money on someone else.
Canadian. Thanks.
But
no, I
that's
know.
Not the way it works. Yeah. I'm not surprised by this.
This is negotiation 101. It's gotten serious. But a lot of times before the deal gets struck, it goes south. This could be, you know what I mean? The noise before it happens. Like I thought it was eerily quiet for a while there. And then all of a sudden, you know, this comes out today. Dregs and Bobby Mac are all over it. You know, yes, that offer was there. I agree. There are certain pressure points. But I would love to be a fly on the wall if it's term or if it's money, if it's both. And then I thought it was interesting. It sounds like there's a sour point about those bonuses. That were like 1.6.
Old Mitchie didn't get his first-year bonuses
from
Lou.
Yeah. Entry-level contract. So it's almost like he's saying, I'll take that, but just so you know, add in what I deserved back then.
Which he has a case considering
he has a right to do that.
They gave it to Matthews, and every other first-round pick gets that.
Right.
But it's petulant now. It's 3 years removed. You've made a lot of money. You're going to make a lot of money.
And it was not even the same GM.
And it was Lou Lamoriello.
And you're the one that capitulated to Lou Lamoriello and said, okay, we'll take the deal without the bonuses. So why are you bitching about it now?
Well, they might argue Brendan Shanahan was actually the guy in charge. And he still is.
Right.
So that would probably be how they would dance around it. Actually, no, we didn't negotiate with Lou. You're Lou's boss, and you didn't push for me to have the bonus either. But I guess what I'm saying is I'm holding back with the fire until October 2nd.
Yeah.
Now, if you start missing games, then it's a totally different story. Because make no mistake, 7 years at $11 million is an egregious overpayment. It's an awful contract for the Leafs. He doesn't deserve 7 years at $11 million. I know I brought this up 45,000 times,
right.
But the reigning MVP signed for 8 years at $9.5 million.
Right.
So, and he's a winger, yeah. And a better winger, and a better scorer.
Yeah, and but I don't care about Florida State tax or whatever.
Me neither. And with the signing bonuses, I'm telling you, the Leafs are in the same boat as the teams in Florida and Arizona. Yep. They load up 95% of it on July 1st, and these guys are taking a lot of that money back. But until he misses games,
right.
This is all a part of the dance that is aggravating for all of us and all the fans. And I'm not surprised if he and the agent are like, you're going to put this on the table in June?
Yeah.
Let's see what you're going to get me in September. Because I absolutely believe if Mitch Marner calls up Kyle Dubas on October 1st and says, I'll take 7 years at 11, Dubas is going to still give it to him.
Yeah.
He's not going to pull it back.
No.
So I think
that's the worst they can do.
That's the worst they can do. If that's the deal that's on the table, it's still on the table.
I think the frustration is, I just kind of sat back and watched, and obviously watch a lot of Twitter traffic and that, kind of try to get a pulse of just the fan base. The fan base is frustrated.
Everyone's frustrated.
But you know why they are too? And this is my opinion, is this is a window. You can't afford to mess around in a window where you think the team has a chance to win, and he's a key piece of it. Because if he ends up missing some of training camp, missing some games, and it just ends up being one of those years that's just off kilter, we're all going to be pointing to that and saying, right from day one, it was a train wreck.
Well, here's what I believe has been established. This generation, these three players, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, I don't include Tavares in this because he was older, and quite frankly, he fulfilled the prophecy that we've been waiting for a long time.
Right.
He came back as a free agent.
Right.
He's clear. I don't think Morgan Riley's included in this because, again, he's older, and he's unanimously loved, and he took a great deal.
And been through thick and thin,
He's ringer. Not included.
Right.
Imagine Matthews, what he's thinking. Imagine what Morgan Riley's thinking.
Well, he's going to get paid, though. Make no mistake.
No, I get it. But he's probably thinking, I took a reasonable deal to kind of make this thing work.
Yeah.
Now this guy's jamming this up. Whatever.
Matthews, Marner, Nylander, they're all linked together because they all started together. There is a fork in the road. Two options. You either go down as the most celebrated generation in team history or the most disappointing generation in team history. Because there's no middle ground. There's no, well, they stuck around, they put up some decent numbers, maybe won a couple of rounds. No. When you dig in and you demand every penny you can get, which they've done, and they're entitled to that.
Correct.
But none of them took any discount. All of them wanted to set the bar for the rest of the league.
Right.
You've put a fork in the ground.
But
now, if they win, it doesn't matter.
You shine a light on yourself, too.
Absolutely.
That's a thing.
But if you don't win, you keep losing. If you leave, you are going to be the most disappointing generation in franchise history. You have two options.
What do you think that Braden Point and Matthew Tkachuk must be sitting back saying, you said no to 11? Like, you get 11, I get 9. Are you high?
Point is the one I said yesterday is still... I thought
he's a better player. If Marner gets 11,
points my one on that list, but Marner's not far off. He's right there too. But I'm shocked. Like, I thought your head was going to explode when Ryan Callahan got traded, because I was like, well, there we go, Tampa does
everything
it again.
Works out for Tampa.
You know, Miller gets traded to Vancouver.
They got a first rounder salary dump. Here's a first rounder on a brutal team. Vancouver's brutal.
Right. So it ends up working out, and I think to myself, okay, we're going to get an announcement that Braden Point signed for $8.5 million, whatever Stamkos. I think Stamkos $8.5 million, I think, around there. Something in that range.
Yeah, so Mitch Marner gives like $3 million more than Braden Point.
But that's what the Leafs are offering him. That's not Mitch Marner.
$2.5 million more than that, yeah.
They're offering him, that's why I'm saying, this is a ridiculous overpayment, and that's why I have to believe, reading the tea leaves, the Leafs are starting to play the PR game here.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the details are coming out. That's not generally the way the Leafs play. Because why would Marner's camp want this out? This is a PR disaster for them. They can't win this PR game, turning down 7 years at $11 million per, which would make him, I believe, the highest paid winger in the league. Yeah. right there anyway.
Well, above Patty Kane, right? But Patty's at...
Kane's at 10-5 for 8 years.
Yeah.
What's and Ovi? He had won three cups.
What's Ovi at?
Ovi's around there. I'm not sure exactly what his number is.
But, I mean, right in that
right
wheelhouse.
In that category.
Well, it set him off. We were 4 seconds into the show.
No, I'm with you in terms of the aggravation, but I'm not quite there until he misses games. If he signs between now and the start of the season, that's the way the negotiation game works.
And this is negotiations. Like, make no mistake here, because we don't know all the details. This has been, like you say, strategically, by accident, let's just put that out there. Wink, wink. So all of a sudden, it shifts. Like, it did. We haven't learned that... You know, the Leafs have offered 4 years at 4.2. It's, you know, this is something that you knew that would send us, the fan base, people around the league going, hold on a second.
That's why I don't work in the NHL, because my philosophy would be the 7 years, 11, or whatever it was, that's available right now, but don't ever try to circle back on that, because if you say no right now, sorry.
Well, that's the...
And I can't, like, they would be personal for me, and that's why I don't work in NHL front offices.
Well...
I don't want that, I don't need that, I probably couldn't do the job, but that would be my approach. That's available right now, but don't ever try to circle back and say, by the way, that one, I want it again. No. $116 million Canadian? Are you nuts?
But... That was on the table at the draft, by all accounts, and he turned it down, and they didn't put his name
out
on the market.
Screw him, then, and that's enough. Move on. But I can't do it.
But agents, that's negotiating.
That's the way it goes.
If it's there in June, like, I agree with you, Brian. If it's there in June, it'll be there in October.
Exactly.
What they're saying is,
why would you jump on the first deal? Like, you, again, would I prefer this was behind
us? How about just being a reasonable person?
That makes all the sense in the world.
That's a different...
Like, just being reasonable and saying, I want to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's why.
And I'm very, very happy and excited to make that amount of money to play for the Leafs instead of this nonsense.
You're not wrong.
You're pissing everyone off, and everybody hates your guts, and they should.
That's why I just said what I said with this fork in the road.
Right.
Because none of them... Even though Matthews played his cards better than anyone else.
Right.
It just happened mid-season, all good, but he got a remarkable contract. But none of them did the hometown discount, which they don't have to. They don't have to. But you could have played that PR spin. And none of them gave the old, I just wanted it over with because I want to concentrate on hockey. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You wanted to concentrate on business,
well,
which again, it is a business. It's their money. But there have been countless examples of other players like Connor McDavid, who signed on July 1st, the year before his deal even expired, and just said, let's get it done so I don't have to worry about this.
And by all accounts,
he's underpaid compared to what these other guys are doing.
And said, I can't do that to my team. We're already a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send it even deeper into the toilet.
Right.
You're right. There is pressure points, but I would say let's take a collective pause here. The passion's there. Everyone's frustrated. Nothing's happened yet. Physicals are Friday or tomorrow?
They're
tomorrow. On ice Friday. Like, let's see if Mitch is there. This may be ugliness before all of a sudden an announcement tomorrow going, we found a bridge deal that works for both sides. Because I just don't see it being $11 million for seven. I don't know why Mitch wouldn't take that. He has his own reasons. But if he wants a shorter-term deal, the money's going to have to change.
Well, if it's a three-year deal, it's got to be at like 7.5 a year, honestly. Like,
well,
that's why the
team... 8.5? He'll be offered the best bridge contract in the history of the game.
Yes.
But then isn't the contention
the
final
third
year?
The qualifying offer, that's where it gets sticky. And that's, you know, it's inside business stuff that
right.
a lot of people just don't want to be bothered with. They want to know if you're going to play or not. But... Yeah, that appears to be the sticking point. It's that third year, if it's going to be a three-year contract. And, the Leafs are clearly going to be frustrated here. That's why I think a lot of these details are starting to come out.
Yeah.
Because I think they're realizing we're on the eve of camp and it's not going to happen.
Right.
Or there's a pretty good chance it's not going to happen. And their reputation is at stake as well.
Right.
Because Nylander did something that no one else had ever done before, and he did it to this team.
Yeah.
And
that management group.
Management group. And all we heard was we learned from those mistakes and we're not going to let that happen again and we're going to get this done. And here we are on the eve of camp and it's not done.
My bigger concern, and I know because they'll be able to make the money work however they sort it out. They're smart enough people in that front office. It's just when you take a look around the league, and I've been just sniffing around on teams, like we know the Toronto Maple Leafs are one of 7 or 8 maybe less than that, but let's just give it 7 or 8 organizations that you could legitimately see make a run or win a cup. And the minute that one of their key cogs, a core player, is not available, I always worry that it can mess with the mojo. Now,
they've been down this road before.
They've been down that. Now,
they did it last year. They
but have William Nylander is, you're right. Kapanen jumped up and played very well in Willie's absence. If Mitch is not there, Nylander will be fine. Kapanen will go up. Like they're not going to be a 48. They're not going to be the Colorado Avalanche from 4 years ago, mm-hmm. where they got 47 points. They're going to be fine. It's just I worry about the player, because then the player getting back and you know, sometimes it can mess with your head a little bit, because if they're right now, I know people are frustrated, but they're not looking at the player Mitch Marner. They're looking at the business side of mm-hmm. this. And there's like there are people on again. I'm reading online. They're like, "F you, Mitch, and go away
but
and
that,
go to
those,
Switzerland.
Again,
take your dad with you."
That doesn't matter.
He's got
when,
nothing
if
to
he
do.
Signs tonight, and right. again, if they win, none of this matters.
Correct.
None of it matters. We're all in the moment. We're yelling and screaming. The fact of the matter is, if he signed last July 1st, when they could open negotiations, or October 1st. Doesn't make a difference. He still played every game last year, and he'd play every game this year.
And there's people that have said, why didn't they do Matthews and Marner together at the same time? Like, maybe that was an oversight by management, too. Like they,
there'll be books written about
these negotiations. There's going to be stuff that, you know, like, because potentially, if by all accounts, because if we're going to talk about that offer being there in June, was there an offer from Marner's camp a year ago that said, hey, you know what, we'd like a long-term deal at this number, and they balked at it. Who knows? Again, I'm not a fly on that wall. But it takes two to tango here, and I'm not defending that because, oh, you clearly laid it out. Everyone gets paid in U.S. dollars, but when you convert it to Canadian, that's a monster number. Even 88's a monster number. But, you know, $1.15, it looks bad. Doesn't look great.
Well, Panarin signed for 11.6 per year. So that's the highest paid winger. Kane's at 10.5. Ovechkin is at 9.5. Now, guys sign at different times. And
Ovi signed a 12-year deal.
Yeah, it's unfair to compare a number today to a number from four or five years ago or whatever.
But if you had to rank those players, where would Mitch fall in?
Well, if we're going into a game tonight, he'd be either third or fourth.
Right.
Like, he's clearly behind Kane and Ovechkin. And Panarin, he's an equal player to Panarin.
Right, so coin toss.
Yeah.
But
Panarin was a UFA and...
Right.
I mean, it's a complicated era we live in, and it's a disappointing situation because you're constantly talking about numbers and, you know, you're pitting team versus player versus fan base, and ultimately people just want to get excited about a new season and a season where they have the opportunity to do something very special.
And you can get excited about it because nothing's happened yet. It's technically still the off season for all these players, but we're yelling and screaming because the clock is ticking. And
the details are out today.
That's the thing. You start to get some details, and you're like, okay, why is that not acceptable? Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard. And I guarantee you, and they've earned that, I guarantee you the Marner's camp, I'm sure Mitch would like to say, well, hold on a second. I'm sure he'd like to argue his side. He doesn't get to, because these are all behind closed doors. Sucks, but we get to yell and scream for 20 minutes, and it's quite passionate. Like, it's awesome, but it's bad if you're...
Well, it's happened too often here. That's the problem.
Yeah, you're right.
It's happened way too often here. It's deja vu. We went through it a year ago with Nylander, to an extent with Matthews, but there was the reaction to the contract that Matthews signed and the sensitivity of it only being a 5-year deal, and now Marner's up, and he's turning down monster contracts that, quite frankly, based on who he is and standards around the league, he shouldn't even be offered, but... That's the game. It takes two to tango.
I said this to you off air. What player in these negotiations could have a fan base, like, not turn their back on them, but it take a lot. Like, William Nylander has to have a great year this year, I think, to win over a lot of people that
Absolutely.
Were frustrated. If Matthew Tkachuk doesn't start the season, if Patrick Laine or Kyle Connor...
I think all of them are in the same boat. If you miss games, you put yourself... on the firing line.
You do.
Now, I know that is unfair because the players would say, listen, the team can just give me what I want, and I'm showing up and I'm playing.
Right.
But You're not going to win that battle. The team's always going to come first over an individual player.
Well, and we have
from a fan's perspective. These
aren't holdouts. They don't have contracts, but there are offers in place. That's the difference.
And there's a difference in terms of what is coming out with, like, the Leafs are trying to get something done here.
Yeah.
There are other GMs, by all accounts, that haven't even talked to their players.
Well, the Tampa one is...
They're not even talking. I don't know if Tampa's not talking with Point, but we've heard that. Like,
but that's
some
what I thought.
Some of those other guys, like Connor and Laine, there's just no discussion.
Nothing. Feathers. By all accounts, like, they're just sitting there saying, we'll figure it out when we figure it out.
Nothing that's leaked out. Like, we don't know, but wasn't it LeBron that said yesterday, is like, you know, Julien Brisebois in Tampa's kind of playing this a little bit different than Stevie Eiserman did with Stamkos in them, Kucherov.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's the one I'm shocked hasn't signed. Everyone else, I'm shocked that Point isn't signed. And I'm sure he's chomping at the bit. Like, as a player, it would bother you to sit and watch your teammates go out there. And I know you have the control over it.
I know, but the dynamic of that one is those guys are going to be making, what is it, Kucherov at 9.5, Stamkos at 8.5, Hedman same at 8.5.
7.8, or yeah. No, I think Hedman's 7.8.
7.8, I think, yeah.
So this guy all of a sudden wants 10 or 11, and they're going to be saying, why are we going to pay you more than all these other guys?
It's the going
our
rate.
Our best players.
But a lot of it is percentage of the cap, too, whatever it is. And if the cap goes up, even if it's slightly or state, like, that's, there's a lot more that we can't get into because of our math background.
Right.
We're not going to.
The audience doesn't want to get into all that, but.
Yeah.
Jason Strudwick, our buddy Struddy, will join us later in the hour around 4:40. We'll get you an update on the celebrity roast in Edmonton. He was the roast master for Noodles on Saturday night.
He was pretty good.
And they got a lot of problems in Edmonton, but none of it revolves around RFAs. Well, I guess Puljujarvi, technically, but I don't think they're too upset about that right now.
No.
Dave Poulin will be in studio later in the afternoon. Jerry's Percentages at 5:30. We're off and running. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we got to loosen some things up in here. We were fired up in the first segment.
Oh, holy smokes.
We haven't brought that kind of heat in a long time.
But there hasn't been really a reason to be that passionate. I mean, you can get excited for Bianca, great, but it's a different type of passion.
Yeah, it's right? Like jubilation.
Yeah,
like she was talking with the media today. She had a press conference. Yeah. And
actually, if we had the comparison, him with the Bugs or him with the Marner contract, it was, if we did a side by side, a lot of the same passion.
And look, I understand it's big business, it's big money, but I know this kid grew up in Toronto, was not the richest kid in Toronto growing up. And somebody fires that at you and you're just hemming and hawing and saying no to it, sorry. It's an old school approach, and I apologize for that, but how much money do you need? $116 million Canadian dollars? Your great-grandchildren can't spend that money if you have half a brain.
Well, and let's not forget, these guys are going to be up for another deal.
Well, this isn't his only deal. That's the thing.
Like, if he signs a 7-year deal, he's up again when he's 28 or 29. He's going to lock in for a monster again.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere. He's playing 15 years in the league, minimum.
Yeah.
All these guys are playing for a long, long time, but we'll see what Dave Poulin has to say about it. Pooley will be in studio at 5. I'm sure Jerry will have a comment at 5:30.
I wonder if Jerry, he'll be spitting fire over it.
Yeah, I think he's disappointed league-wide that these RFAs are kind of stealing the buzz a little bit.
Oh, Ray said it last week. He's like, these are some of the best players in the league, the future of the league, and none of them are going to be in camp.
Well, they're holding the league hostage. That's what it is from a fan's perspective. But if you're a team that doesn't have, like, is there a contending team that you can think of that doesn't have an RFA holdout? I think Boston has to. Is Brandon Carlo?
McAvoy,
I'm sorry. Holdout is the wrong word. I've got to make sure. Those guys don't have a contract.
Right. An contract RFA, negotiation.
Contract negotiation.
I don't know. You're putting me on the
San
spot.
San Jose.
Washington still in the mix.
Yeah. Washington.
Like Pittsburgh,
San Jose,
I guess.
Hit.
San Jose. Vegas.
Yeah.
I can't believe Vegas is still included. But
they are.
Year three. They're a cup contender.
Especially when you got Stone.
Vegas is in a better position than the Maple Leafs, and they've been in the league for 2 years. They've been to more cup finals in the past 2 years. They got less contract negotiation issues to deal with.
Yeah, but they're in better shape than
A lot of teams in the
15
NHL.
Organizations in the league.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like in thinking of those handful of teams, like Winnipeg, I would think is a team that you could think could do some damage. You've got two. You've got twice the problem there. Tampa, I know Tampa still will continue to roll along, but Braden Point's a fantastic player. Like, that's, you know, and then Toronto. There's three organizations that would be considered top-tier teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll see. I mean, nothing's going to happen, I don't think, the rest of the day anyway.
I think it's going to get done. I think it's going to get done.
I really believe
he's going to relax.
Isn't training camp start tomorrow?
Yeah, technically it starts tomorrow.
Physicals.
Absolutely. If you're not there for day one and you're doing the rounds and all that.
I wouldn't mind missing the physicals. And then just come in, sign, and do it on your own instead of having to do it in front of everyone and all that. I'd be fine with that. I'm giving Mitch one day. I'm going to give him the pass.
A one-day buffer.
Because you know what? You don't need the, like, the doctors will look at him. He's going to be in fine shape. What do they care how much he can bench press and jump and all that? They just need him to go out and play hockey.
I feel we talk about that every year. Someone gets injured every year during a physical.
Well, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, I believe, last year.
Blew out his Achilles or something.
Lost half a season on it.
Yeah. Like, why make guys jump? And, like, what's the point of it?
I know.
You know,
but
here's
then it comes
when I was in Carolina, when I tried to make a comeback, Justin Williams blew out his Achilles doing a shuttle run.
Yeah.
And Jim Rutherford scrapped every single physical test. He said, "You go see the doctors, do the normal stuff. There's no testing. Not doing it. I'm not going through this garbage ever again."
Guys are in such great shape, and a lot of the trainers are in touch with these guys all summer long. So they'll know exactly what type of shape they're in. You actually don't need a physical test that day. I bet you they test monthly. You know, body fat, all of that type of stuff. Like, I'm sure it's tested more regularly.
What is there, 800 players in the league? I think five guys total would show up out of shape. Total out of 800.
Yeah. You know, in watching Ovi, I was watching him last night on, he went to a grocery store.
What the hell kind of bike accident did he get?
That looked like a serious accident.
Like did he run into a semi?
Both of his arms, like his face
was destroyed, his arms.
Well, he went right over the handlebars.
It wouldn't surprise me. Like, that probably would have killed a normal person.
He's fine.
And he, like, got up and walked it off.
Well, he got up and had a dart and a vodka and said, "That does not hurt
me." Put his tracksuit back on and away he went.
Yeah. Jay and Dan were playing the scrum. We should try to find
scrum
that.
Scrum busters.
And they were
whatever.
Joking about it because someone asked him, was like, "Hey, what happened here? What's up with your face?" He said, "I got into a biking accident," and then the guy's like, "Oh, really? In the neighborhood?" And Jay and Dan made the point. They're like, "What does it matter? Like, in the neighborhood? What kind of follow-up is that?" "No, it was in Moscow."
Yeah.
"No, I decided to drive 250 miles south, and it actually happened in South Carolina."
Yeah, or if it was in the opposite neighborhood, or...
Oh, was it in the neighborhood?
Big gulps.
Just big gulps,
feathers.
Eh?
Ovi didn't answer it. Or what are you
gonna
say?
He just blew them off and started walking away.
Yeah.
Because he had just come off the ice, and again, it's informal skates. He's like, "I don't have to be talking to you people."
It's true.
Anyway, this isn't going to add any levity to the hour, but the Antonio Brown news cycle just continues.
Yeah.
And Belichick is entitled to speak with the media, which he did today. He didn't add anything to this Antonio Brown accusation. Tom Brady, entitled to speak with the media today, he got up there and said, "I'm not going there. I'm not going to give you anything." You knew that was coming.
Until both sides.
They have no business talking about that anyway.
Yeah,
and they don't know about it. It's not their life, and why would they?
Well, Belichick, I think, I'm not expecting him to say anything, but did you know before you signed him?
Nobody knew about this. Nobody in the league or on any team knew about this.
I would have to believe you're right on that.
No, it's been well documented today. You watch any of the NFL shows, nobody knew about this.
Yeah.
Do you think Bill Belichick, if he knew about this, would pull the trigger on that?
Well,
no way.
But you also have to look at, and you have to hear how this sorts out legally. Like, because he's countersuing and stuff, you know, no idea how this all shook out. Like, it sounds like he had multiple run-ins with this lady. I forget her name.
Well, it was a trainer of his. I mean, listen, he in the court of public opinion, this guy's done anyway.
He's a piece of garbage. He was a piece of garbage before.
But as much as you dislike the guy's antics, he's he's entitled to the same rights that every other American is and every other Canadian is, innocent until proven guilty and due process.
Correct.
So as much as you hate the antics, this is a much different tone. This is not showing up in a hot air balloon. Yeah. This is not an Instagram post.
This is real life.
This is dark. This is real life. Yeah. This isn't football goofiness or online goofiness.
Correct.
This is real stuff, and it's disturbing, the allegations. And I would also say I take umbrage, and I've seen it out there, and maybe I'm putting too much stock into Twitter and social media, but this idea that the Pats deserve this, that's a disturbing take. I mean, this is real life.
Yeah.
Again, do they deserve maybe to lose games by taking this guy on because of what he did with Oakland and what he did with Pittsburgh? Maybe
right,
I'll grant you that. Not this with a potential victim. And
This,
don't give me the Pats deserve it. No one deserves this.
Right.
And I don't know if he's going to play this weekend. If the allegations are true, I don't think he'll ever play again.
No.
I mean, he's going to jail if they're true. And it just never stops with Antonio Brown. But this is on a very different level.
Yeah, it's another level. You're right.
Very different level. Michael Lombardi, our NFL analyst, will join us. We'll get more into it at 6 p.m. with him. Jason Strudwick, friend of the show from Edmonton, will join us next. All right, Dave Poulin in studio in the next hour. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. See what kind of mood Jerry's in this afternoon.
He's going to be crabby, I would think.
Maybe
fired
frisky.
Up.
Usually a pretty good chance he's going to be crabby, but what is going to be causing him the most disturbance this week, I guess we'll find out at 5:30.
Yeah. Balls, what do you think about Jerry? You think he's going to be crabby, happy?
He could be a little frisky.
Listen to the grappler back there.
Oh, he's
just
babbling.
Screaming.
Well, who's
grappler's
he yelling at? Screaming at Struddy.
Yeah, he's probably talking to Strudwick. He's trying to get Strudwick on the line.
Yeah. Hi, Jason. It's the grappler.
Yeah. We should ask people that. Does he call himself the grappler when he calls?
Does he say, hey, Struddy, it's grappler?
He should.
Graps.
Is Strudy there, Graps, or what? All right, Jason Strudwick from TSN Radio out in Edmonton, the roast master himself.
Yes.
How does the grappler introduce himself on the phone?
Well, I mean, he just, you know, he just said, I didn't know that was his nickname. Did he give that himself?
There was an incident.
There was a performance.
Our performance.
Oh, no. Yeah.
We'll tell you about it off air.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to talk about performances, let's talk about the shirt O-Dog was wearing in the video you sent to me. That was the most offensive part of the roast. Why are you wearing a medium shirt, O-Dog? That thing was screaming for its life.
No, Strutty. That was a nice T-shirt V-neck from the Gap, and you tried to grab onto something and make fun of me because you're bald.
I actually
didn't. And you have a 9 head instead of a 4 head,
I didn't go after.
No, he did. I know. That's you had to attach yourself to something, and that's what you did.
Well, that shirt was not attached to you. It was glued to you. Are you still wearing it today? Couldn't get it off, probably.
No, not wearing it today.
Bodysuit, man. Yeah, that was that video. Needless to say, that was one take.
Yeah,
it wasn't that smooth.
And be honest, Strutty, because you called me last June, I think it was, with this idea of us putting the video together. Did you actually think we were going to get it to you? Because we sent it to you 24 hours before the roast started.
No, a lot of professionalism, obviously. You guys, you know, I give you 8 weeks' notice. You give me 8 hours to get it. And you send me what was only the second worst performance of the night. So, you guys are lucky someone else failed pretty badly, because otherwise you guys would have been the bottom. But, you know, Craig Button, luckily, as usual, rescued you guys, as did Rhett Warner with a good video. So you guys are solidly in third place.
Okay. Was it a fun night, the celebrity roast, noodles in Edmonton, and everyone lining up outside on the streets and all that, or what?
Yeah, it was good. We raised a lot of money, and I got to say, Noodles did a great job. He was carving guys left and right, and everyone had a great time. It's really fun. You know, it's a good job, and the kids get to play sports, so it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the roast of Jeff O'Neill next year. I think it'll be fantastic.
Not out there in that dump of a town. We'll do it in Toronto, maybe.
Give me some heads up so I can get a video in 20 minutes before the show.
Yeah, you can text us a video and we'll try to get it up.
Give me, You can FaceTime me in. FaceTime me in during the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think we were going to get it done, man. I got to be honest with you. I was pushing for it.
I feel like they forgot, and then, like, that last day, you're like, oh my God, I got to get it in.
No, it was, we were trying, and then on Thursday we're supposed to do it, and this guy comes in and forgets he's on that hockey, so we never got to shoot it. And long story short, we got it done in the end, but...
Thank you.
We were glad to be a big part of a big night out in Edmonton. And what's the mood like out there? You guys don't have any RFAs with the Oilers, so do you get caught up in this conversation like every other city in the country, or what?
You know what? I honestly, like, just look at what Ken Holland's done. Like, he's created a situation where there's going to be a lot of, opportunity for young players that push away up into the lineup. And that's been a problem I've had with the organization for a while, is that, you know, they haven't had enough guys bubble up from the AHL system. So, you know, on the eve of training camp, we're 2 nights before, we got Evan Bouchard, who will be an Oiler at some point, Tyler Benson, Cooper Marody, all these guys, no spots are guaranteed. But I think there's an opportunity for them during the course of the season to literally bully their way onto this lineup and force out a guy who's on a one-year contract, is UFA at the end of the year. And none of those deals are significant, so you hope that everyone performs and there's good competition. But if they don't, a young player can come in and push their way into this job by Halloween or whatever, Christmas or into the new year, and that's what they need. They need some young players coming up that can play that they haven't had enough of. And, you know, there's a spot at the right, second right spot defense that people are like, well, let's go trade for Justin Falk. I'm like, why? You don't have the cap room. You don't have enough assets. Let a Bouchard come do that. Maybe he's not ready for a year or 18 months, or maybe he's ready in 6 months. But that's the cheaper option. That's the long play. With or without Connor McDavid, you have to do it the right way. And I believe if Connor sees that, he'll see these young players coming. He'll understand what the plan is, and he'll be a guy that wants to stick by it.
Strutty, Puljujarvi is an interesting case. I think back at the draft, it might have been in Buffalo, where they must have been licking their chops saying, we have an opportunity to get this guy. Like, what happened here? Was he a bust? Was he brought in too quickly? Is it time? Like, is there enough time to salvage this? Could he come back? Like, could he ever play in the NHL again? Like, what happened here?
Yeah, you know, when I went to the draft in Vancouver, I was stopped by probably 10 guys from 10 different teams asking me what I thought of him. And, you know, it's on both sides. First off, brought up too soon. You know, I go back to when the Sedins were drafted. They played an extra in Sweden, and then they came over. And they weren't elite players right away coming in. You know, those guys a little bit full-figured their first couple of years, and they got in shape, and they kind of got it going. For Jesa, he was a guy that came in and came into early to the NHL, had a tough time establishing himself as far as what his role is. Then he spent some time in the minors, and he's up and down from the minors. And, you know, I think that a young player needs some stability in their life. So that stability, whether that's in the AHL or Ryan Shotgun for Strome when he was here with Edmonton, he's got to have stability. And he didn't have that, and then he started doubting himself. From a scouting perspective, one area I see, he doesn't win enough battles. You've got to win that puck battle. Like, if you want to be a shooter, that's great, but, you know, it's a line. It takes three people to create a line. And you've got to win those puck battles, those 50-50 puck battles along the wall in the middle. Big, strong guy, good reach. You've got to win those battles. So, you know, I don't know that he comes back here. I think the best case scenario for the Oilers and the fans is that he does really well. Then they can find a trade partner that will give them something that is, you know, reasonable when you're looking at where he was drafted. But, you know, he wasn't handled well, but he hasn't developed at the pace or in the way that is needed to be, at this time, even a top nine forward.
With Jason Strudwick, we heard today from Ken Holland saying that McDavid, he may play one game tops in the preseason, likely won't play at all. I don't see why you would play him coming off the knee injury, the knee surgery. How much panic will there be in Edmonton, though, when he does return? Let's say it is night one of the season. Is that going to be where the trepidation comes in? People concerned if he's at 100%, what he's going to look like? What's the mood like out there?
Well, I mean, he's their best player, and he's arguably, you know, the best player in the world. So he's a huge part of what the Oilers are doing. But we saw last year the season he had, as did Leon Draisaitl, and it wasn't enough for the Oilers. So when I'm looking at this issue, you know, let's say we're not going to play him for two of the first regular season games. You know that Connor's still going to get his 100 points. But my question is, what is this team going to do defensively? Are they going to be able to shore up And when I say defensively, that doesn't just mean the defenders, and it doesn't let the goalies off the hook either, Noodles. I know both you guys don't like to think either position makes mistakes, but the D-men have to be more solid in their own zone. The goalie's got to be better, and everyone's got to take a better, harder line on playing tight D, getting the puck out of their zone, and improving the penalty kill. You know, those are the areas I'm really thinking about and watching, evaluate as Dave Tippett gets the team going through training camp. Because the penalty kill, I mean, you can't, the last couple of years, it has not been good enough. And it puts so much pressure on your power play and five-on-five hockey. It makes it really hard. So, yeah, you know, people are talking about it, but I think that's just because it's a sexy topic. The reality, the underlying reality is they got to get better on their five-on-five play defending and their penalty kill. Those are two huge issues for this team. If they don't improve them, Connor McDavid get 200 points. They're not making the playoffs.
We got to fly, Strutty, but just give us an update on what the ladies are thinking of you in the grocery store today. Any looks? Any tight pants on today? What's the story? Quickly.
I don't like to bring them out this early, right? I don't want to just try to rattle the ladies. So, no, I don't have the tight jeans. I'm actually in a tracksuit today. I just got off the ice, so tracksuit bottoms. And it's a Euro cut, but not as tight as I'd like.
All right, man. Keep that mojo rolling out there, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Thanks for that great video, guys.
You got it, buddy. Anytime for you, Strud. Jason Strudwick from TSN Radio in Edmonton. Longtime NHLer and coining a new term, full-figured, early in their career.
I remember him.
Full-figured.
The Sedins were full-figured. Yeah. Dave Poulin and Jerry in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.